The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well now, last Tuesday, Budget Day, close to the beginning of the programme, I spoke to Terry Prone, Chairman of the Communications Clinic, about this year's budget and budgets of previous years. But what's weird about that is that Terry Prone does not remember having that conversation with me, or indeed anything else that day. And Terry joins me now to explain how she lost a complete day of her life. Because Terry, that's essentially what happened.
That's exactly what happened, Pat, and I'm never going to get back that day. Now, I know what happened that day, but that's because other people have told me. I know I went to work very early. I know that I was starting a quite complicated course with six people. We would call it a train-the-trainer course. And I know that I set them up, set them with an exercise, and then went down to my own office to go on the landline for you to talk to me at exactly 9:20. I know all that, but I have no recollection of it.
Well, I can refresh, Terry, your memory a little bit of what you said, because you said this would be a budget to forget. How true that turned out to be for you.
Oh, that is brilliant. I was prophetic. Now, as soon as I had finished doing prophecies to you, I went back to the training room and did 4 hours of training. Now, the head of training in our place, Lorcan Nyan, was sitting in on the course, and he says that I did a perfectly ordinary, perfectly creditable course. But the first inclination, the first intimation that something was wrong happened directly afterwards, because I was sitting in the training room and Ellen, our training coordinator, came in and she was tidying things up. And I said, why are all these cups of coffee around? And she thought that was kind of strange, because I had just run the course that the people had had the coffee on. But she answered me, that was fine. And 30 seconds later, I asked her the same question again. And she thought, answered me. And when I asked her the third time, she answered me, left the room, went up and got Lorcan and said, you need to come down and watch this. And when Lorcan arrived, I started the same thing, different question, but repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. And the two of them had a little consultation and decided to send me to hospital in an ambulance. And that's what they did, which I think requires fair courage to send your chairman to hospital. Mm.
So you ended up in St. James Hospital Emergency Department, and presumably you looked fit and well and nothing wrong with you, not a bother. So you've got to have people to explain to those welcoming you to St. James exactly what's wrong with you.
Well, I think they worked out pretty quickly the main problem, because they would ask me a question, or I would ask them a question, and exactly 30 seconds later, I would have no recollection of having done it. Now, the point that you make was actually borne out by my son, because as soon as he was told that this weird thing had happened, that his mother had stopped remembering things 30 seconds after they happened, he decided, okay, and he got on his motorbike and went to James's. Now, he knew that visitors were not permitted, and particularly, obviously, in A&E, but he simply sent in a note saying, look, I am her son, I know what she's like normally, and he then sat there. He sat there for 4.5 hours, and at that point, they brought him in, and he was able to observe that my memory was increasing, first of all, to 5 minutes, then to 10 minutes, then to 15 minutes. Meanwhile, they were doing blood tests and they were doing a thing called a lumbar puncture, which is not a pleasant experience. But again, the great advantage of having no memory is that you have this experience and then it goes away. So I was all at the time terribly good-humoured. They were deciding that the most likely thing was that I probably had viral encephalitis, a viral infection in the liquid that your brain sits in and that goes up and down your spine. And that wouldn't, the results, the test wouldn't come through until the following day. But they decided, okay, let's get her on an antiviral now, because that will stop the progress if that's what she has. And if it isn't what she has, it's not going to do her any harm. So I was admitted. I was admitted to a ward. And the following day, it was all scans and EEGs. And I kind of had a multiplicity of teams. First of all, there was the infectious diseases folk. And then the neurological people arrived. And one of the things that they did, Pat, was they had this sort of a form, and they handed it to me, and it had a line drawing of different animals. There was a lion, there was a rhinoceros, there was a dromedary. And I'm looking at the rhinoceros thinking, I have really never worked out the difference between a rhinoceros and a hippo, but I'd better get this right because they'll think it's only recent, my pig ignorance. And one of the questions that they had was, okay, you have 60 seconds in which to give us as many words as you can, beginning with F, F as in Fat Freddy. But you're not allowed to give us first names. So it has to be nouns or verbs or adjectives. And Pat, it was unnerving because it was even worse than the Leaving Cert because I was trying to prove that I was okay. And I was coming out with any words beginning with F other than swear words. And I heard myself saying at some stage, Sisyphus. And I didn't even have time to admire the fact that I knew a word like that. And at the end of it, I said, okay, how did I do? And they said that 12 to 16 is good, and I had got 27. And the sense of relief, because everything was outside of my control. And that was kind of scary, because your brain, your words, are what your living is made of.
I can guarantee you, Terry, that at this moment there are people trying that test themselves, because I tried it. It's not easy. You know, as many words as you can in 60 seconds, beginning with F. And, you know, you kind of run out of the obvious ones and you do resort to the swear words to try and maximize your score. Anyway, you got a clean sheet in terms of your returning mental capacity.
Yes, I did. But then they still hadn't worked out exactly what had happened. And so a team arrived, the neurological team arrived with an epilepsy expert. And he said, look, there's three possibilities. One is this viral encephalitis. Second is that you had a seizure. Third is something called transient global amnesia. And he said, my instinct is that you had a seizure, but I need to talk to somebody who was there when it was happening to you. So I rang Ellen and I said, Ellen, there's a consultant here who needs to ask you questions. Handed over the phone, and I couldn't hear what she was saying, but I could hear how she was saying it. He was asking very crisp, precise questions about what she had observed, and she was like a Garda witness in court. She was answering only the questions, not elaborating in any way. And when he handed me back the phone and I cut her off, he said, well, that blows my thesis. You didn't have a seizure. So now we're pretty sure that what you have is transient global amnesia. And that turned out to be just the best thing. Obviously, there were more tests, and they worked out that I didn't have an infection and all that sort of stuff. But this thing, Pat, TGA, if you have to go to hospital for a week, it's the very best thing to go to hospital with, because you're not in pain, you're not confused, and it is one of these things that is as random as being hit by a meteorite. You know, you didn't cause it yourself by drinking or taking drugs or being stressed or anything like that. The only two associated factors seem to be, number one, that you're over 50. And number two is it has some link, not necessarily causative, but some link with migraine. And since I had a car crash about 30 years ago, I've had this odd thing where I get a migraine aura. Meaning a visual distortion. You can't work, you can't read, you can't do anything when you have it. But I also discovered, purely by coincidence, that Botox gives you some protection against this, which is my excuse. I would have been coming close to my need for new Botox, so maybe that's associated with it. But the best thing of all is that transient global amnesia doesn't come back. You know, you're unlucky to get it in the first place, but it doesn't leave you with anything. It doesn't say, okay, you're going to get something awful as a result of this, or you're going to get it repeatedly. It seems to be, for the most part, a once-off visitor.
Now, when you look back on your activities of the day, which you've pieced together, clearly you drove to work, but have no memory of that. But it does seem as if you functioned quite normally, even though you weren't storing anything in the memory bank. So presumably you drove safely.
That's a really good question, Pat. And the answer is no, I didn't. It's not that I didn't drive safely. I didn't drive at all. That was the morning of my NCT. And I had asked a friend to take my car to the NCT place, and I got a taxi. Because I've been kind of shivery at the notion of, if you've only got a 30-second memory, maybe you'd notice that you were coming up to a red light, but maybe you'd have forgotten the significance of it by the time you reached it, and you mightn't put on the brakes. So that gives me the screaming memes, and I'm incredibly grateful that I was lucky enough not to have driven myself to work.
Now, it is by definition TGA, and the T stands for transient, so it didn't last more than the few hours. You lost the whole memory of the morning and the afternoon and so on. But you say it's not likely to come back, but will you remember if it does?
Pass. Oh, that's an awful question. And, well, if it did come back again, I wouldn't know what was happening to me because I had no clue while this was happening. I was quite agreeable about it. I didn't seem to be particularly agitated, perhaps because I knew that I was with people I trusted and who knew me very well. But I wasn't that bothered about it. I do think that if it happened again, I would be really, really frightened this time, whereas now I'm saying, look, you can go on endless Google sites. I mean, the Mayo Clinic is probably the best. And they all basically say, look, it's very unusual. It's quite frightening, but it isn't any harm, and it rarely comes back for another visit.
All right. Well, Terry, I hope you remember this conversation. You don't remember our last
I'm
one.
I'm sorry for forgetting the other one.
Terry Prone, Chairman of the Communications Clinic, thank you very much for joining.